Shut up and sit down.
Early release, not even early, half day.
We on?
We are rolling.
All right. Hey, welcome to the Doubt on Tap after show with the Simple Theologians. I'm Pastor Dan.
I'm Pastor Mike.
And we're glad you are here. Doubt on Tap takes place on Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock at the Ipsy Ale House, which is located at
124 Pearl Street.
And we really hope you will come out sometime and join us for a conversation. There are four rules at Doubt on Tap. The first is that everybody talks. The second is that everybody has to respect one another. The third is that we end in 1 hour. And the last one is there has to be a moderator, which is typically me, or occasionally we pass the moderatorship off to the much more intelligent and incredibly better looking Pastor Mike.
See, now I don't know if you're just being patronizing.
No, I was mean to you last week. Now I'm being nice to you.
I know.
So
I'm confused.
I was nice to you all those weeks before last week. True. Remember, last week I was setting you up.
I know.
But maybe I'm setting you up again. Because this week's topic, well, there's no, by the way, for those of you that are regular listeners, there's going to be no recap because, well, it was me, Mike, and crazy Tom and ground control. So,
and crazy Mike to be distinguished from Pastor Mike.
That's right. So it's
not crazy Mike.
Not crazy Mike, but crazy.
Cussing Mike.
Yeah, so cussing Mike. Cussing Mike, Major Tom, Pastor Mike, and me. And, So we're just going to kind of roll into this. Our topic was supposed to be telling ghost stories and talking about why we like being scared and watching scary movies and reading scary stuff. I don't know, for whatever reason, nobody showed up. And
It was rainy. It was cold. The World Series was on.
That's true.
I mean, there were a lot of things going against us.
And Andrew Lloyd Webber's new thing is playing down in Detroit. So it was just one of those nights. And when you're doing a conversation thing like this, you're going to have one of those nights every once in a while where just nobody can come. And you don't get discouraged. You don't get frustrated. You
drink a beer. You soak it up, and you come back next week.
That's right. And so, we're actually not coming back next week. Next week is Halloween.
That's right. And you come back the week after.
That's right. So we're gonna take next week off. The podcast will take a week off as well. It was a good time just hanging out, watching the game, and drinking a beer, and just catching up and chit chatting.
And we did. We continued a little bit of the love your enemies conversation from the week before.
We did.
That was actually pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And kind of weirded out because Tom was like, "Well, I would say I love you," and I'm like, "Okay." And he's like, "No, just as a friend." And I'm like, "I hope so." but
Major Tom, we love you.
We
if
do.
You're listening. We know you're not listening. But, hey, so today we are going to talk about what a friend of mine, an author, a guy named Jonathan Ryan, he calls it sacramental horror. And I threw that phrase out to Mike the other day, and he was like, "Whoa, what is that?"
I like the sound of it.
Yeah.
It's a great sounding,
it's a cool term, right?
Yeah, like, it needs to be in the lexicon.
That's right. Yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah.
It's a thing. And I really wish Jonathan could be a part of this conversation. He is a published author, and just a really talented guy. He's written some really scary books. Really scary books. Very much something that I would encourage you guys to check out if you're into horror writing. He really does do a good job of writing sacramental horror. So what do we mean when we say sacramental horror? Well, Jonathan talks about in an article, and we will link this article that he wrote in the description. So click on the link when you get there and read what he wrote about this. But in a nutshell, the idea of Sacramental Horror is that there is nothing that we could have ever imagined as horrible as what took place on the cross. And so, you know, even in the worst, even in our most kind of broken way of trying to think about how can we scare people, the horrors that took place on the cross, and not just the physical horror, right? Not just the crucifixion itself, but this whole thing, this whole picture of what comes together of the sacred and the secular coming into contact with one another, the eternal and temporal clashing with one another, good versus evil ultimately clashing with one another. You have veils, as Jonathan puts it, veils being torn, the dead being raised. It is the sky going dark. I mean, everything about that moment is unbelievably horrifying. And so there is something in us that is called back to that moment. And there is something almost sacramental about it. And I mean, I guess in a sense there is, because we celebrate communion, right?
Yes.
And what good horror does, not slasher films, but what good horror does is it takes us back to that moment. It brings us back to that realization of human brokenness, human sin, the unbelievable consequences of sin and brokenness, and the reality of the cross again. And it brings us face to face with our own
mortality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, with our own mortality.
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to play devil's advocate here just a little bit. So take this with a grain of salt, because I think about all of the classes I've sat in about the crucifixion, and all of the descriptions I've read or the portrayals I've seen on the screen, and they are pretty horrific. I've been in classes where people have passed out at just the verbal description, even the clinical description of just what's happening during the crucifixion. But I think possibly at the same time, there there may be people listening that are thinking, well, there are things that are scarier. I mean, have you seen the Saw movies? You know, the notion of having to cut your own foot off. You know, that kind of thing. That
right.
That immediate harm to self. The fears we have of kids going missing or being abducted, those types of things, they play on our primal instincts, our survival instincts, and I think I don't know. I'm trying to wrap my head around the sacramental horror idea, and I agree, like. The crucifixion is probably the absolute worst way to die humanity has ever come up with.
For sure.
I would agree with that 100%. But mixing, even reading the article, I think I had I'm still having trouble just putting my mind around it. Maybe I have to read it again, but it's, the sacred horror of it, mm-hmm. that whole idea, it kind of clashes. And I think he wrote this too, because for him growing up as a Catholic, and I grew up Catholic as well, the stories of the saints and of the crucifixion were set up to kind of scare you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Whereas now we kind of beautify it.
We're talking evangelical type Protestants.
Types. Yeah, we try to clean it up and make it more flowery, and
even lefto commies like you.
Yeah, even lefto.
There's one.
So yeah, like we take the story of David and Goliath. We throw some vegetables at it, and it's Dave and the Giant Pickle.
That's right.
You know, we do things like that because, yeah, the primary lesson is can be achieved without the gruesomeness of it. But I think, and maybe it has something to do linking with our tendency towards violence. Maybe it has something to do with that. Explain it to me a little more. Talk to me a little more about how you're...
I mean, to be fair, I'm still trying to wrap my mind around this thing, too.
Oh, good. Yes. I'm not the only
No. And Jonathan's idea, this concept of sacramental horror is new to me. And it's... But it resonated. And what resonated with me was the very thing you were just talking about, our whitewashing or our cleaning up of the biblical stories, right? And so, like, we don't talk about the David and Goliath part where you have, like, them chopping off Goliath's head and holding it up in victory.
Right.
I mean, you know, and that's where I think you start taking these biblical stories from the Old Testament in particular, and you throw them on the big screen. If you just make them straight, dude, they are rated R or beyond.
So the other day I'm looking and planning ahead for worship, and I was toying around with doing some more stuff in Exodus. We did a bunch in Exodus later in the summer, early fall. And I'm reading through, and it's been a long time since I hit some of these passages. The calling of the Levites.
Yeah.
Do you remember? Moses comes down. There's been the golden calf incident. He smashes the tablets. Moses had just begged God not to kill the people. Don't kill the people because Egypt's going to look at us and they're going to be like, see, their God just brought them out there to kill them.
Yeah.
And so Moses makes this huge plea, and he goes down. They destroy the calf, and he talks to the sons of Levi, right? The tribe of Levi, who become the Levitical priesthood.
Yeah.
And he says, do you guys want to serve God? And they're like, yeah. And he says, I want you to go and run through each gate, and whoever you see, kill them. and it comes back, and he's like, and 3,000 people were killed that day. And he says, you will be a priesthood forever because... you killed brother and son and father. And I'm like, I don't know how I'm gonna preach this on a Sunday morning.
Right.
Like this is very graphic, very horrific. And it's one of those things where I'm like, Moses was a dick.
Yeah.
Because there was no instruction from God on Mount Sinai saying, listen,
Moses.
Yeah, I'm adding this onto the bottom of the tablets. Yeah. This is the footnote. You go and have them. No.
And this is, or even yesterday in, I'm you know, doing the part-time teaching gig up at a large church in Brighton, and we do a staff chapel on Wednesday mornings, and we're looking at the story of Gideon this week. Well, the whole book of Judges, I mean, dear Lord. But this description of the 300 who went to fight with Gideon, and what happened in that battle where they surround the Midianites, and it's dark, right? It's before the sun comes up. It's everybody's asleep. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning, and they've got torches in these vases, right? And they have trumpets. That's what they go to battle with. And they surround the camp, and then they break the jars open so that the oxygen hits the torches. It lights up a ring of fire around this camp of Midian. They blow these horns. Like, could you there must have been a primal horror in the Midianites to be woke up out of your sleep. You're out, sleeping outside in a campground anyway.
Yeah.
Like, you don't sleep good. You're already kind of like, what's that noise? What's that noise? Is there a wolf? Is there a bear? I mean, what's coming to eat me? And then all of a sudden there's this noise, and you look out and you are surrounded with a ring of fire. Like, that's the horror that they must have felt in that moment, those Midianites.
I'm sure had any survived, they'd have been washing their underwear in the river the next
100%.
Day.
100%. And you know, and I think that's the thing when we start thinking about sacramental horror is, again, I'm still trying to wrap my mind around this, but it's purposeful, right?
Yeah.
And so you know, you look at the Saw movies, or I'm not a horror movie guy. It's not my thing.
Nobody's perfect.
I know. And I mean, I still have nightmares from Nightmare on Elm Street, the original. but those are purposeless. Like those slasher films, there's not a purpose to them. And so, are they scary? Yeah, they're scary. Do they scare us down to kind of that primal, some of those primal things? Yeah, 100%, which is why they mess us up. But you look at some of the, kind of more classic horror stuff like Frankenstein, right? That's actually like Mary Shelley's Frankenstein is a story with purpose. There's something going on there beyond just trying to scare us in a primal kind of place, or Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, or, you know, like there's something else going on. And you look at those horror moments in the Old Testament, or the horror moment of what took place on Calvary. There is purpose and there is meaning. I think there's a significant difference between true horror and just being scared. And I would lump, like, I mean, I would say something along the lines of, you know, child abduction, those kinds of things are more in that horror,
right?
Kind of, because there's this bigger pick. It's not just, is there a guy hiding behind my couch that's going to hit me with an axe?
I mean,
I'm gonna go check. But you know, that's where I think it's interesting. My kids, for whatever reason, dude, they love horror. They like horror movies, yeah. And the one that they've kind of been watching is this Purge series.
Ooh.
Which,
yeah, I haven't even done that yet.
Which just, they describe it, and I'm just like, this sounds, what? But listening to Ethan in particular, kind of break some of it down as he sees, he kind of talks about it from more of the story aspect than just kind of the blood and guts thing. He's more interested in this, how the story catches him.
Yeah.
And it makes him think about some different things, and I thought that was interesting. I have no desire to go to watch the movie.
it is an interesting concept to ponder, like the whole premise of crime is virtually eliminated because one night a year,
right,
you can do anything you want. That I don't think that would work.
Right. Right.
But the premise is interesting. The thought on that is an interesting,
yeah,
one.
Yep.
There are other aspects of horror that are I grew up with Frankenstein and Jekyll and Hyde and Godzilla and,
mm-hmm,
you know, all that kind of science fiction-y horror type stuff, and there is something about horror that it plays to our collective cultural fear too.
Mm-hmm.
So culturally, when we're talking New Testament, Old Testament times, these things that are happening are horrific. Not necessarily because it's blood and guts, but which a lot of times it was.
Yep.
But because it is something that hasn't been seen before. This is the sacred interacting with the secular, like you were,
yeah,
saying. This is the this is the eternal entering time.
Yep.
And when that happens, explosive things
right.
tend to happen. But it is, I think, the appeal of it, like, over the last few years, zombie movies and zombie shows have become, like, the thing.
Which is beyond
well,
me.
But I think the reason is it plays on the psychology of
right.
of our culture.
Yep.
You know, we all walk around with our phones
yep.
like we're zombies. We're not paying attention like we should. We shamble around mindlessly without really thinking through things.
Yep.
We react.
Yep.
We smell food. We run after it. Right. Kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so it plays on that. And Jekyll and Hyde plays on the fear of those dark urgings that come from our flesh, that come from the sinful part of us.
Right.
And the fear that could somehow fully take over.
Yep.
And we you know, and even the stuff that is just for the gore factor, and I you can tell I'm the horror movie buff between
yeah,
the two of us.
Yeah,
but,
right.
But even with like the Saw movies, it starts out playing on the fear of there are just some deranged people out there. And there really are. There are messed up people out there.
Yeah.
I don't know that there are messed up people with the finances of like a Bruce Wayne that are being able to put all this stuff together and get away with it, but there are people out there that, you know, it's the fear of the unknown. We don't know who's deranged. The psychopaths are just like us.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
We just don't know it until it's too late sometimes.
Yeah.
Is what the fear that plays on.
Yep.
And it all comes back to a fear of the unknown. We don't know what exactly is happening.
Yep.
At the crucifixion, even the disciples didn't know what was happening. At the resurrection, the disciples didn't know
what was
happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's a scary thing.
Yep.
The dead walking, whether it's the graves opening up at the crucifixion or Jesus walking or Lazarus, it is a scary thing. It is not something that we think of as natural.
Mm-hmm.
And it is unprecedented in history.
Yeah.
At that time and even now.
Yep.
We don't see the resurrections
yeah.
happening these days in that type of way. And so were that to happen, it would be a very shocking and startling and horrific thing for us. Not
right.
And I think part of maybe what your friend was getting at is that we tend to think of horror as just a bad thing,
mm-hmm.
which is why we brighten up our Old Testament
That's right.
stories and why the crucifixion is made more gentle than it actually was. We have this feeling that horror is goes in the negative column,
right?
But I don't think it has to.
Yeah,
I think part of the reason of horror, or part of the purpose of it, is to remind us that we are mortal. Because we walk around, even like I'm gonna be 40 in a couple of years. That kind of just hit me this morning as I drop,
yeah.
as I'm dropping my daughter off. When my dad was 40, I was 20. I'm going to be 40 and I have an 8-year-old, a 3-year-old. I am doomed. But it's, you know, but even me about to be 40 in a couple of years, it's hitting me, or it doesn't hit me like it should, that I'm mortal.
Mm-hmm.
And don't even talk about teenagers. Who really do, for the most part, walk around like they're immortal, like they're gonna live forever.
Yep.
They don't give thought to the fact that life is gonna end at some point, and that is the ultimate unknown, the
yep.
ultimate horror, especially if you don't have faith.
Yep, absolutely. Hey, and with that, thanks for listening to the Doubt on Tap After Show. We are the Simple Theologians. I'm Pastor Dan.
I'm Pastor Mike. Hey, real quick, do you want to plug your Anchor FM?
Yeah. Hey, so if you guys want to hear me on a more regular basis, I am blogcasting most every day at anchor.fm/Daniel M. Rose. And I'll drop the link in the description here as well. So I'd love for you to give me a followable. I am the blogcast is called The Rev, and it is available on iTunes,
Google Play,
Pocket Cast, and one other one that I can't remember. Yeah. So
also check out his website, danielmrose.com, if you prefer to read some things.
Yeah.
And you can check out what I got at revmikeumc.com.
There you go. Yeah. So check us out. Hopefully we will see you on a Tuesday night soon.
And if not, on the podcast in a couple of weeks.
That's right. Thanks, guys.